Hello and welcome. We're going to wrap up our issues on corporate liability with insider trading. Insider trading is when you use information that you have as a corporate employee or director or an officer to be able to make money for yourself or to avoid to lose money that you ordinarily wouldn't lose because of the fact that you have this inside information. Okay. Let's talk about it. Definitions. Insider trading, according to Black's Law Dictionary, is the use of material. It has to be material, meaning it has to be meaningful or important. Non-public information can't be out in the public domain, because if it's in the public domain, you're not using inside information. In trading the shares of a company by a corporate insider or other person who owes a fiduciary duty to the company. So you use basically confidential material information to be able to make money or to avoid losing money for yourself. State and federal law, both state and the federal law, prohibit this practice. Why? It's unfair. Everybody should be on a level playing field. The state corporate law prohibits it under the Martin Act. So does the 1934 Securities and Exchange Act. What constitutes insider trading? Insider trading is when a corporate insider trades, that means buys or sells shares of the corporation using material, non-public information obtained through the insider's corporate position. Again, if you get it in the public domain, that's not insider trading. If you're reading the Wall Street Journal and suddenly see, hey, the stock is going south, you're not using your corporate information to do that. But if you use something that only the people who work for the corporation know about, then that's insider trading. You're using an unfair advantage. It's the exploitation of that insider information that insider trading seeks to get at, because it gives you an unfair advantage. This can be a good news or a bad news information. If it's good news, the company, you know that the company is going to roll out this fantastic product tomorrow and nobody else does, and you go up and buy all kinds of shares of stock because you know that tomorrow the shares are going to go through the roof because they're going to do this introduction. Nobody else knows about that. So as a result of that, you have done an insider trade. And similarly, bad news information. If you know tomorrow that you know, you work for Apple, and you know tomorrow that everybody's iWatch is going to fall apart because there was a delayed broken part in it, that you know that as of the obsolescence, all the engineers report to you, everybody's Apple Watch is going to break tomorrow. And you go out and you sell all your Apple stock because you know it's going to plummet, that also is insider trading. It's not just good news, it's also bad news information that's covered. What's your liability? Insider trading under the 1988 Insider Trading Act means the controlling person, including employers, whose lax supervision may allow employees to commit insider trading violations, are subject to civil penalties. So if you allow your employees to do it because you're not properly supervising, you're going to be responsible. The 1988 law establishes bounty programs that allow the SEC to reward informants. The reward is 10%. Of any penalty imposed, so they are searching for this. And what is insider trading? The classical theory of insider trading states that a corporate insider, such as an officer or director, violates the insider trading rules by material, non-public information about the corporation, and then makes a trade based on that information. The underlying insider liability in this concept, that there's a special relationship of trust, and you're violating that trust by going down that road. A tippy is somebody who gets a tip. And that's what happened in our case tonight that we're going to talk about. They're an insider, and they got a tip from another insider. And as a result of that, they disgorged their stock. That's unfair. And a breach occurs when the insider benefits personally from their disclosure. So if they turn around and make that trade because they learned this information, they've been an insider trading. Supreme Court has made it clear that an insider must breach a fiduciary duty in disclosing the material, and that that breach must involve a personal benefit. So it's a breach and a personal benefit. You have to have those two together. Again, this is just like fraud. You have to have an intent standard. And with insider trading, you have to intend to benefit from this knowledge and take action to benefit. What constitutes a personal benefit is that you will benefit from it. I mean, that's basically what it is. If you avoid losing money or make money, either one, you're getting a benefit. When liability occurs, when does that happen? Illegal insider trading occurs when the person owes the fiduciary duty and violates that by selling or purchasing a security in the possession of material non-public information. Penalties include very steep fines, criminal penalties, up to 20 years in jail for insider trading, and up to a $5 million fine or twice the gain from the offense. So if you could lose $10 million and you don't, you could be up to $20 million in fines on that. This is very serious because as a country, as a society, we want to make marketable securities, meaning the stock market, be secure. We want to have people have faith in it. We don't want people to be thinking that only insiders can play the game. And we want everybody to have an equal opportunity to make money and to lose it too. Attorneys and accountants can be barred from serving before the SEC. They could be disbarred for that, thrown out of the accountancy profession if they engage in insider trading. Now, there are exceptions here. Not everything you might think is insider trading is insider trading. Defenses exist to insider trading. As we said, if you have knowledge of it, but it's in the public domain, meaning it's on the front page of the paper, then it's not insider trading. The question that you're going to ask is whether the transaction involved a security. Was it stock that you bought or sold? You know, if you go out and buy a whole bunch of Apple Watches, is that a security? No. Is that insider trading? Probably not. So whether the trade had information that was both non-public and two material, it's got to be meaningful information. It's got to be non-public information, meaning if it's in the public domain, it doesn't count. If it's meaningless information, it doesn't count. You know, there's certain things that they, you'll know the time of something. And it's not really material on this. That doesn't mean that you were able to use that to make the money. the information you have has to be usable to make the money or to avoid losing money, whether there was a deceptive act. So you have to breach your fiduciary duty in this. If you didn't breach it, if it wasn't intentional to do it. And if your wife goes out and buys the stock of your company every Wednesday, she does it every Wednesday, and you are unaware that she does it every Wednesday, and she goes out and does it on a Wednesday, are you legally responsible? Probably not. You had no intent. It was something that was done all the time. She didn't have the insider information. The fact that you benefited from it doesn't necessarily mean that it's an insider trade. Whether the government can prove the requisite level of intent. Because this is an intentional act. You have to prove that. And unless you can, there is no insider trading. Additionally, anyone charged with insider trading should further consider establishing in an alternative basis for the trade. No, I didn't trade because I had insider information. I always go out every Wednesday and buy the stock. And this happened to be a Wednesday. Did I have the information? Yeah, but I did it every Wednesday. So you can demonstrate that it wasn't the information that made you buy the stock. You bought the same amount of stock. You bought 5 shares of stock every Wednesday, like clockwork, to show how loyal you were to the company. And the fact that you bought 5 shares of stock that Wednesday, even though you had information that the stock market was going to go up, you bought the same 5 shares the last week and then again the following week. So that in and of itself is some kind of alternative theory on that. Also, you got to look to see the mosaic theory is another big theory that people use as a defense. Yes, I knew all this, but I learned it by bits and pieces from different places over time. Nobody came off and gave me a stock tip. Learned a little bit from the Wall Street Journal. I learned a little bit from watching MSNBC financial news. I learned it all over the place. And yes, I did have some inside information, but it was all discombobulated within this gigantic mosaic. That has been deemed as a defense because you didn't just focus on one thing that would lead you to making money. It was bits and pieces over time. That's our discussion on corporate liability. We'll next move on to our case about a very famous young lady, Martha Stewart. See you shortly.